from us around. Everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ram Sparta means WHCO.
Car folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning, 9:27. I'm Jeff. This is the People Speak. You're having a good day. And we're talking today with Sparta School Superintendent Dr. Gabe Schwimmer. How are you doing?
I'm here.
It's getting close to the start of school.
Too close.
Right. Yes. Of course, and I started to say a lot different this year than in past years. I'm sure a lot of planning has been going on, a lot of what are we going to do with this? How are we going to handle this and everything? But I guess that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, you know, how things are going to get started, what it's going to kind of look like at this point.
What we think it will look like, yes.
Right. I'll tell you what, before we even get into it, let's go ahead and take our commercial break, and we'll get that out of the way, and we'll come back and talk with Dr. Gabe Schwimmer from the Sparta School District here on the People Speak right after this. Again, this is the People Speak. I'm Jeff. And again, today we're talking with Dr. Gabe Schwimmer, and kind of a interesting, I guess, start to the school year coming up here on August the 12th, I believe.
Yes, students are expected to return August 12th. Our teachers will be back the 10th. That was moved up. We're originally set to start the 19th, but at our last board meeting, they decided they wanted to get kids in the sooner the better so that we could go ahead and get started with the uncertainty of a resurgence in the virus, which we're kind of witnessing right now.
True.
We have a template that we released about a week ago. We just wanted our families to be prepared and to know kind of what our thoughts were at the time, knowing that they're going to change minute by minute. But everything that we've kind of drafted is in coordination with recommendations from the Center for the Disease Control, Illinois Department of Public Health, and our Illinois State Board of Education. And boy, we've worked hard. Kudos to the administrators. Our technology department is running ragged, trying to get our technology devices up and running.
Contrary to what a lot of people believe, I mean, you work during the summer too, but yet this summer has been even more.
Yes, we work harder. I came from a central office district, so I knew that the amount of work that was required in the summertime. We were never allowed to take vacations in June or July because of the amount of work that you have. Mm-hmm. But yes, I would say our workload definitely has increased. Your brain never turns off because you're thinking at 3 o'clock in the morning, how do I best protect and keep safe my staff and my students, because we're responsible for their lives.
Right.
That's true. A big deal. So if anyone has a timeshare to Hawaii when this all dies down, I'll pay you whatever I can to get out of here. But what I have to share and talk about today is, like I said, a template. Our building principals have more specifics as far as scheduling, what lunch will look like, things like that, because we have such different populations at each of the three schools. So basically, just to talk about our overall health and wellness plan, a lot of people have gotten hung up in the plan with the word recommended on face masks. The reason why we put the word recommended is because there are two cases currently going on which are debating the effectiveness behind the word required. So we're kind of waiting for those cases to get done to see whether required is the actual word to put in there. It doesn't matter. It's just a language term. We will be wearing masks at all three of our buildings, and we have the requirements of how they need to fit. I just heard from the state yesterday, and our shipment is coming in, so every student and every staff member will be provided with a mask. Doesn't mean that they can't wear a specific one that somebody bought them this summer to protect them. They will, for the most part of the day, have those on. There will be times if a child says, I need to take this off. It's really bothering me. They can step out in the hall where nobody will be in the halls because we're going to minimize movement. Take it off when we're outside and we're social distancing. There's going to be an opportunity to take them off when they're eating. But I want people to know that we are committed to keeping ourselves safe and keeping others safe. So those masks will be worn. You have to have one to get into our building. Of course, there are medical conditions that exempt you from wearing a mask, but we will have to have a doctor's note for that.
Well, they have the ability, you say, if one gets dirty, because I know a lot of times kids may have a runny nose or something and sneezing into the mask, they can then get a replacement for it, I guess.
Yes. However, our funding is, we have spent a lot of money on sanitizer and ways to, we're ordering the backpacks that the custodians can go in and spray and instantly sanitize each day, the wipes and all of that. So our PPE budget is dwindling fast. So I would say have backups so that if you don't get a chance to wash one in the evening, that you can bring another one to school the next day. And each teacher kind of has their own plan. I know that some of them are having different bags for different days, and the kids will put their masks in a bag in their desk, and then Tuesday they'll wear a different mask, and Wednesday they'll have a different one, and so on and so forth. So I'm not going to micromanage how that's done, but you know, absolutely we will have extra masks. We have extra masks for visitors, though unfortunately we're going to discourage visitors for a while to try to keep some of those germs from coming into our building. Everyone that comes through our doors will notice that we got new $2,500 thermometers. It's facial recognition. You take a look at it and it will immediately evaluate your temperature and tell you whether you're able to come into our buildings or not. And it always reminds you every day to wear a mask. So that is something that, you know, we will be doing that kind of screening on all of our children, all of our staff, and then any visitor that were to come in.
Oh, it sounds like something out of Star Trek.
Yeah, it's different, but it is so quick with that funding that we did receive from the federal government. We thought that that would be the best use of the money to get, you know, Lincoln's got over 700 kids. We got to get them in there quickly. Right. So they have four different areas where kids will be screened.
And to have staff members take each person in physically, you know, say hold a thermometer up to them or something. You know.
Yes, we do still have those because, you know, we do realize that at noon a child could develop a fever, and we have to have that capacity as well. So we're adhering to the no more than 50 people in a space at one time. When we're outside, groups of 50 are going to be 30 feet apart. In the classroom, the guidance that we received from the State Board of Education was distance as much as possible, 6 feet as much as possible. Well, as a teacher, we like stuff. Right. We like for our kids to have hands-on learning opportunities and things like that. So that is going to be probably the most significant difference, is our manipulatives will not be able to be shared. You know, we used to always recommend sharing and tried to push that as a character trait. And this year we're going to say, nope, have your own things and use your own pencil. And that's what's going to keep us safe. So we are going to distance as much as possible in the classroom. And all our kids will be facing the same way so that they're not breathing on each other. But the most important thing is, by parents sending their child to school every day, we have a self-certifying form that when you put that kid on the bus or you drop them off in the car every day, you are certifying to us that you have made sure they do not have a temperature of 100.4 or over. They're not taking fever-reducing medicines. They have not had close contact with someone that has been tested positive for COVID. They haven't traveled outside of the U.S. They have not been directed to self-quarantine by anyone in the healthcare field, and they don't have any of the following symptoms. And yes, this is going to be new, because before, I mean, I come from the days where if you had a runny nose, wipe it off and go to school. It was important to be at school. But with this virus, we're going to be cognizant of making sure that kids that have chills, cough, shortness of breath or trouble breathing, fatigue, muscle or body aches, headache, loss of taste or smell, sore throat, congestion or runny nose, nausea or vomiting or diarrhea, that those kids stay home. If they have any of those, it's better to be safe than to be sorry and send them and not know that they may actually have a virus instead of allergies. Mm-hmm. So that's going to probably be the most difficult part. But we're still going to temperature check everyone that comes through the door for our own liability and coverage to make sure that they're not sick. So if a kid gets to school and you check their temperature before they left and we check it, it's 101, they're going to have to go home for the day just to protect everyone else. Kids won't be allowed back into school until they've been fever-free for 72 hours without medication. It used to be 24 hours, now it's 72. If they have had COVID symptoms, they're asked to quarantine and stay home for 10 days. And if they have come in contact, which contact by definition of the Department of Health is within 6 feet of someone for more than 15 minutes, they are asked to quarantine for 14 days. So I get the question all the time, so what if somebody in a classroom tests positive? Does that mean the entire class has to quarantine for 14 days? Well, not necessarily. We're going to be very good about contact tracing and seeing who they were in contact with. Mm-hmm. There was a kid that sat on the other side of the room and wasn't anywhere near them, didn't cross their paths because we're going to be isolating movement. We're going to take it case by case and confer with our health department to make the right decision for that class.
Right. Let's go ahead and throw in a quick break here, and we will come back and talk some more with Dr. Gabe Schwimmer here on The People Speak right after this. And welcome back. I got some time left here this morning on The People Speak, talking with Dr. Gabe Schwimmer from the Sparta School District, kind of talking about how things are going to be going under the current situation we have with COVID-19 and everything. And things are different in different areas and that, a little different precautions being taken and everything else. And
yes, absolutely. And you mentioning that, before I even go into what some of the operations look like in phase 4, if we do go to phase 3, the governor declares that the virus is escalating and we need to go back to phase 3, we will be entirely remote learning then. We still have not worked out, and we're probably going to have a definitive plan next week, what remote learning looks like for families that don't want to send their kids to in-person, which I understand that, and there's a growing number of concern for that. So we're trying to meet with the union next week to come up with a plan if you want to keep your kids at home instead of sending them in person, instead of doing homeschool, then what does that look like? Mm. I do feel like we need to offer something to our parents. So we're working on that still. But those that do come back for in-person when we're in phase 4, every child in our district is being assigned an individual device for learning that will either stay at school if they're at school or go home for homework, or if we have to go back to remote learning. We have ordered MiFi devices, which are kind of like jet packs. So if you don't have good internet device or internet service at home, we will have those to send home and check out. We are rotating as limited amount as possible. So that will be a lot different, especially at the middle school. Instead of kids moving to different teachers, the teachers are going to be moving to the kids. So then that way we are limiting any opportunity for transmission to occur.
Fewer number of people at one in one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we had to get docking stations so our teachers can easily connect into another teacher's room. Major inconvenience. And I know, you know, if you're a teacher, you like to be in your room teaching, but we want to keep everyone safe. So that was what we came up with. The principals have done a great job of making sure that there's not more than 50 people in the hallways at the same time, at arrival, dismissal. I mean, there's so much that goes into this that I think that we take for granted or don't realize the amount of planning that it takes. But they are committed to following those health and wellness guidelines that were set forth to social distance as best we can. So classroom spaces will look a lot different. We're having hygiene protocols that will be taught, modeled, and reinforced. So kids will come home. We're operating under basically 3 W's, and this was from the governor's office: wash your hands, wear a mask, and watch your distance. I mean, and if we do those three things, science is showing that those are the most effective methods. Mm-hmm. So we're committed to staying with those. I recommend that all kids bring a reusable water bottle at school, because we're not going to be using the water fountains except for to fill up water bottles, just for the safety of that. Personal hand sanitizer. If you have a certain kind of sanitizer that you like the best, you'll be able to keep that on your desk. They can bring in their own Kleenex and wipes for their desks, as well as everyone will have their own supply boxes at their desks. So like I said, unfortunately, discouraging sharing is something that we're going to have to do.
Right, especially considering, you know, for years they've pushed share, yes, share, share, and now it's like, don't share.
Sharing. Yes, yes. As far as our food service, the State Board of Education is encouraging that breakfast be eaten prior to coming to school. Now, we know that's not always possible. Some parents leave for work before kids get up for breakfast. So we are going to provide breakfast in the classroom. But I think their point is transmission of bringing in things from home. They're concerned about that. So they're encouraging purchasing lunch at school. It's just a recommendation and an encouragement, not something that everyone has to adhere to. We're not going to be allowing Pizza Hut to deliver to the high school during lunch anymore. We're going to try to limit the amount of things that are brought in to the school. And then I mentioned, as far as transportation, we've worked very closely with Zweigert's, with our bus service. And no food or drinks going to be allowed on the bus. They have to have a mask to board the bus. Now, if you're within the same family, obviously, because you've been around each other and exposed to each other, my understanding is you can sit near to each other there in that case. But otherwise, they're going to have assigned seating. It'll be limited to 50 passengers on the bus. And the disinfecting is definitely going to increase on our buses. So they'll still be safe to ride. As far as our facilities, you'll notice we'll have hand sanitizer stations throughout the building that we will keep refilled. There's a nice video from the CDC that we're going to show to staff that they can show to kids on just increasing hygiene awareness. Sometimes kids run out of that bathroom and they're not good about washing their hands, or even when they're using certain materials in class, it's important to just constantly remind yourself to wash your hands. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if anything comes out of this virus, it will be, I think, that we will have a better awareness of hygiene and how we need to better take care of ourselves. Something that's going to be a change is when students are dropped off, we're going to ask that families remain in their vehicles. We'll have a bunch of staff that will be able to assist to bringing kids in, but I know how that is as a parent. You like to walk up the sidewalk to get your kid at the end of the day, or walk them into the building.
Especially the younger ones.
Especially the younger ones, absolutely. But for everyone's safety and ours, we're going to be escorting the kids in and out of the buildings. So loitering will really be not permitted on the school grounds. You'll see signs and visual aids throughout of all of our buildings. And our touch point surfaces and classrooms, common areas and restrooms are going to be cleaned thoroughly every day. So we're trying to cover everything, the scenarios, the what ifs this happens or what if this happens. We're really going to rely on our Department of Health to help advise us through that. So there's no one answer. I know Rock Island is the earliest school in Illinois, I believe, to go back to school, and they start August 3rd. I'm hoping that them or someone else experiences that so that they can kind of set a precedence for the rest of us to go back to school, just so that we have more concrete answers. That
right, because at this point, nobody's in school, so there's really nothing to base anything off of.
Absolutely. Like with the masks, you know, those two cases that are going on right now will help us. Actually, I'm thankful for it because it'll set a precedence of what are the court systems going to say? Are masks a violation of your civil rights, or are they not? So I think that direction will help us in the future. But we're going to do the best that we can. Our primary focus is the learning loss and the social emotional learning that we're going to have to remediate when kids get back. I mean, I know my son did not do remote learning as well as he should have, and he missed his teacher and his friends and being at school. And assessing that learning loss and remediating those skills is going to be a focus for when we return.
Yeah, people think of schools, they think of the learning process, which is the primary focus, but yet there's the social aspect too.
Absolutely. We've had a lot of kids have struggled. A lot of staff have struggled. I look out the window every day and see kids riding their bikes and can't wait to wave to them. You know, not being able to embrace them and hug them when they come back to school is going to be extremely difficult. that's something we're going to have to discourage too, is the contact.
When you're with someone 7-8 hours a day, you know, I mean, you develop a bond, I mean, as far as a teacher-student and that.
That's something that I'm probably most proud of. You know, this is going to be my fourth year in Sparta, and the relationship building, we've always tried to hit that. And I think it is so strong in our community, and that's something that I'm extremely proud of. But that's something that we're going to struggle with, because this virus has really hindered your ability to connect with someone.
Almost as I said, whenever I talk to someone, or especially in radio, if they're working on a advertising sale or something, you're so used to just shaking their hand as you're leaving, and that, and you're kind of like, you almost feel like you're being rude.
Absolutely.
You know,
because
absolutely. You've been raised to think, you know, you're nice people. You shake their hand, you pat them on the back, you know.
Absolutely. As far as athletics are concerned, I have no new information. The IHSA has delayed their meeting. They were supposed to meet this week. I think by August 3rd, we'll have a recommendation. I know they're heavily relying on the Department of Public Health for guidance on that. Oh, I hope to goodness sakes that we return to some kind of athletics, just for the sake of our kids, for their emotional well-being and physical well-being, and for college opportunities.
Exactly.
You know, that's been something that has really affected so many families as well. So nothing to update on that. We are practicing and we are social distancing, and our kids are wearing masks when they're at volleyball, and it's not fun. I worry about the dangers of what those masks can do if kids are running up and down a court five times with the mask on.
Sometimes it's hard enough to breathe already.
It is, absolutely. But we're doing everything that we are being told to do by the Department of Health, our State Board of Education, and the CDC. We're following it. So we're going to struggle through this. We will get through it, and it's going to be better together. So the support that the community and the staff and everyone has given us, we thank you for that. And we look forward to getting back to school in some form or another.
All right. Well, Dr. Gabe, thanks for stopping in.
Thank you.
Anything else we want to talk at this point?
Expect a lot of virtual things this year, our open houses and things like that. Information will be pushed out, and a lot of that will be virtual, just until we are certain that we can be safe enough to have people gather together again.
All right. Well, again, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And school starting at this point, you know, we're looking at April 12th.
August.
April. What am I getting with?
Don't say April.
No, we don't want to go back to that.
No.
All right. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day.